Right. Here we go. So we're talking about God's word can be trusted. God's word is spirit and it's life. And I'm picking up on, John 6:63. Remember Jesus was speaking and he said, the word I speak. In fact, I'm going to read that because there's an interesting, just before he says the word is spirit and life, he says, the flesh conveys no benefit whatsoever. So let me read it exactly as it's stated in the Bible. John 6:63. But we're going to Proverbs 4, so we'll get there. Okay, so this is what he says. He says, it is the spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatever. There's no profit in it. The words that I have been speaking to you are spirit and life. Now you understand that when he says the flesh conveys no benefit whatsoever, he's not talking about your body. We think of flesh as our body, flesh and bone. He's talking about the thinking of the carnal thoughts, the life without God. In other words, soulish life. That is what he's referring to as flesh. So God says, Jesus speaking, and he's God as we know, he says, the spirit gives life. The flesh conveys no benefit. The reasoning of the flesh. And we'll have a look in Romans 8:6 in just a little while, where it says, you know, the reasoning, the mind of the flesh is death. So it's not just no benefit, it's death. So he says, the words I have been speaking to you are spirit and life. And the words that God speaks are living and active. And they are the words that work in us to change us. They change us effortlessly. And if we as the church can grasp the fact, these are not a lot of words written on a book that are powerless or of mental or intellectual interest. They are life, and we've got to learn the process of taking these words off the page and making them part of us. You know what happens with food? When you eat food, that food becomes part of your body. You think of a baby. When a baby's born, a baby feeds on milk, and if you starve a baby, it's not going to grow. It's going to die, actually. But you feed a baby milk, and milk turns into a growing child. How's that possible? Now, it's the same with the words that are on the page. As we feed on them, as we absorb them in, what happens? They start forming life in us, and like I said yesterday, what you fill your mind with fills your thoughts. What fills your thoughts drops into your heart. What drops into your heart comes out your mouth. And the word that comes out your mouth, the word of God coming out your mouth, that's the rhema. And that is the exact word that Jesus was using here when you look. He says, the words I speak are spirit and life. He's saying, the rhema words, the living words I speak, are spirit and life. So let's go to Proverbs 4. You can stake your life on this word. Proverbs 4. So I'm just going to keep calm today. I'm not going to rev. So we're looking at verse 20. Is that right? This is what it says. My son. Is it up? Yes. My son, attend to my words. This is consent. Is that saying incline thine ear? Yeah, I prefer that version actually to this. Because if someone's talking to you and there's a noise in a room, and let's say you're in a restaurant and you're having a meal with someone, maybe your wife, your spouse, or maybe a very good friend, and if there's a lot of noise and you're speaking and having a conversation, you might lean into them, you listen intently. So we're talking about more than just casual observation. We're talking about specific attention, wanting to know what the word says. So let me just read off here. So it says, attend to my word. Now, if you attend to someone, if you are in the restaurant, we'll use that as an example, continue that. If the waiter is attending to you, he's waiting to see, do you need another drink? Has your napkin or serviette fallen on the ground? Does it need to be picked up? Are you ready to place an order for hors d'oeuvres? Or do you need more of this? Or do you need some more bread? You see exactly how I'm saying. That attention is what good service is. Now, God's saying, attend to my words. Give it your attention. And then where he says, incline your ear unto my sayings, in a way, we know that the Spirit of God, in Romans 8, and it talks about in verse 14, it says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And God speaks mostly in a still small voice inside us. It's a spiritual impartation and recognition of what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. So this is speaking about both the written word of God and it's speaking about the voice of the Spirit. Pauline was telling us, I don't know, it was last night, that she comes out of drive, there's a busy road, she can go one way or the other way, and one day the Lord said to her, okay, I want you to go through the village. And she thought, that's a good idea, but I think I'm going to go down the highway. And she went the other way, and what happened? Straight into a great big traffic jam, and she eventually had to go and turn round and come back, work her way back to where she'd started, and then she went the other way, and it was a beautiful, clear run all the way through to where she had to go. Now that is when we incline our ears to the sayings of God. Now the word is spirit, so how does he speak? He bears witness with our spirit. And we see the same thing happening when Paul was going on a cruise right at the end of the book of Acts. And he says to the people when they want to set out on a journey, and he says, I perceive this is not going to end well. He's speaking about that inner witness. All right, so incline thy ear unto my sayings. Okay, move on, next verse. Let them not depart from thine eyes. There's something about reading your Bible, reading the Word. Now, many times we lie in bed and we have the Bible plain, and that's one way of absorbing the Bible. But a lot of the times, I read the Bible, but I read it aloud, so I can hear it and I can see it. So keep the word before your eyes. And I believe that that can speak to, in your imagination, keep the word there. Because this time you need that word. And when you put a deposit of the word in you, there's something the Spirit can draw from and give to you when you need it. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. And basically, we spoke about the heart of man, and there seems to be divided opinion. Some people think that's the spirit of man, but judging from, let's just go, okay, keep your finger there. We're going to stay on that. I'm going to Hebrews 4, verse 12. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, aren't we? So Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this, the word God speaks is alive and full of power. Isn't that, I mean, this is amazing. This is able to change your life. This is able to bring results, blessing. It's able to release the power of God into you because the word is spirit and life. And the spirit is the power of God. Remember in Acts 1 verse 8, God said, when you receive the Spirit, you will receive power. So, the Word of God, the written Word, I just believe it's been so neglected, and yet it carries the glory of God, the power of God. So it says, the Word God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. And we were speaking yesterday in the context of healing that the word says if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead lives in us, he quickens. And that word quickens is the same word it uses in Ephesians 2 where it's speaking about the quickening of Jesus when he was raised from the dead. It's that same resurrection power. That resurrection power quickens our flesh. All right, so hang on. Let me stay on the subject here. So it says, the word God speaks is alive, full of power, active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of breath, that's soul, and immortal, that's spirit. And now that's very, very important, because we see people mixing up soul and spirit and calling soulish things, calling them of God and of the spirit, and we see them neglecting the things of the spirit because it's not as obvious what is God and what's of the soul. So the Word of God brings that ability to divide between soul and spirit. And it carries on. So it says it penetrates to the dividing line of breath, that soul and immortal spirit, of joints of marrow, and of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing, sifting, analyzing, and judging the thoughts and purposes of the heart. Now, the spirit part of us, that is perfect, if we think in terms of spirit. I want to stay on the Word of God. All right, but let's just look at that. So let's go to Ephesians 4. I'm coming back to Proverbs. Ephesians 4. And while we're in Ephesians 4, I'll show you where it speaks about the quickening. The quickening power. The same power that happens in us. So before we go, while we're in the book of Ephesians, let's just look at Ephesians 2. Verse 5. This chapter 2 is an amazing, amazing verse. It just gives such insight into what the new life is in God. And that's something that we've got to meditate on, because we have got to be transformed. We've got to grow out of the way we used to do things that were before God. And many Christians, years and years and years into their new life, the new life in Christ Jesus, they're still doing the old things. It's because they are not attending to the Word, as the Scriptures say. All right, so verse 5. I see you're on the ball there, Rochelle. Even when we were dead, slain in our trespasses, He made us alive. Listen to this in the Amplified. Together, in fellowship and in union with Christ, He gave us the very life of Christ Himself, the same new life with which He quickened Him. Is that one? What does that say? Yeah, quickened. You see that? And what does it say in Romans 8 about what the Spirit will do? Quicken. It's the same thing. It's the immortal that swallows up, in other words, life, Zoe life, swallows up death. And each time you read the Word of God, life is entering into you. Life is entering into you, and life is developing you. Life is strengthening you. So now let's just go, okay, so I just wanted you to see that. It's the same new life in us, and that's the same reference in Romans 8 that it's speaking to. So we're going to Ephesians 4. I just want you to look at verse 24. You want to go to Ephesians 4, seeing you so fast there? All right, so This is how we were created. It says, put on the new nature, the new self, created in God's image, in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness, the righteousness of God, and true holiness. That's the spirit part of you. You see that? And you can go to Hebrews 10, verse 10 says, you have been made holy, and it says that you have been made perfect. And that's why I can say in 1 John 4 verse 17, as He is, so are we in this world. Because we've just read in Ephesians 2, He gave us the same new life with which He quickened Christ when He raised Him from the dead. So you understand, your spirit is perfect. You're perfect. And I've just read here in verse 24, put on the new nature, created in God's image, in true righteousness. This one says true righteousness and holiness. That one says in righteousness and true holiness. That righteousness is the righteousness of God. And we see that when we read about our new birth, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and you read to the end of that chapter, and it speaks about He became sin that we might be viewed as the righteousness of God, or we might be the righteousness of God, which we are. It's a free gift. Okay, so that's who we are. So when I'm saying the Word of God will divide it'll sift and check out the very deep thoughts and purposes of your heart. It will help you to understand what's in you, and it'll help you always to adjust, to be putting on Christ, to be putting on the new nature, and to be moving into expression of the true holiness and righteousness in which state you were created when you were born again. And there's an amazing scripture in 1 Corinthians 6, is it verse 17? Just listen to this. The person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. These are awesome, awesome truths. And most people just skim them over. But think, I am one spirit with God. So if I'm not perfect and holy and righteous, then I can't be joined to God, because He's not going to be defiled. But thank God we are. We were born again, and we were quickened with the same life that was given to Jesus when He was raised from the dead. And we are the same as Him. So that deals with your spirit. So the Word is to address that part of you, your heart. It's going to judge the thoughts, the intents and purposes, and it's going to build you up and mold you into the image of God. So let's just finish. Can we go back to Proverbs 4? So we just want to see the last little bit. So to attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, right? Move it on. Let them not depart from you, from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That's why I'm just saying you need them in the midst of your heart, because the Word of God is not to convict you of sin, as people think. And it's not to show you the error of your ways. The Word of God shows you who you are. So what you do is you say, oh, that's, if let's say you look at the Word and you say, oops, I'm not behaving like that. I'm behaving like I shouldn't, because that's not who I am. And you look in the Word, you say, that's who I am. Okay? So that's why you keep your eyes on the Word. And the Word is then going to discern, and it's going to judge your thoughts, intents, and purposes. So, there's an amazing scripture, Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. It says, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So, that's what the Word does. It gives you good appetite. It gives you good desires. And then you start wanting to do the things that God wants you to do. Right. Okay, just go to the next section of this. Look at this. The Word is spirit and life. And here it is again. For they, that's the words of God, are life unto those that find them. How do you find them? It's not through a casual reading. It's through searching out the words of God. It's through study. And we'll see that. Because remember we spoke yesterday about the scripture in 2 Peter 1 verse 3, where it says, God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. How does that happen? Study. Right. So as we study the words, find them. You find them through study. It says they are life, because the Word is spirit and life, and health to all their flesh. So we're speaking again about healing. And how is it when you study the words of God? You know, when you study the Word, you know who you are in Christ. You know what you have, and you know what you shouldn't have, and you say, no, in Jesus' name. You take hold of what God wants you to have, and that forms you, and you become that exact thing. Now there's, let's look at how this works. So, if we look in, there's a number of places. Okay, first we'll go to Romans 12. It's critical, the word. We have seen so many babies. They've been Christians for 20, 30 years. That's like having a teenager in your household and they're still sucking a dummy. It doesn't work. And it's time now for us to say, okay, if there's issues in our lives, if we're in defeat, if we're battling, we need to get a hold of the word. So look at Romans 12. And I love verse 1. That's about presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, it says. But look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. And what that is unpacking and amplified, it says, fashioned after its external, superficial customs. So, what is society saying? What is the news saying? What are the advertisements saying? What are the so-called wise people forecasting? Oh, the economy is going to crash. Oh, the globe is heating up, it's going to crash. We forget about all that stuff. Okay? It says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world that's fashioned after its external customs and superficial values, etc. The system that your education, you know, says who you are. No, no. The Bible says who we are. So here we go. It says, be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good, acceptable, and perfect in His sight for you. So when people say to me, I don't know what the will of God is, I know they haven't studied. They haven't studied the Word. Because this here clearly says, if you study the Word, your thinking will be transformed. And the word used there is transfigured. You will literally be changed into a different state. And you think in Matthew 17, where Jesus goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he shows his glorified state. He's changed into that glorified state. It's manifest to his disciples. And that is what the word does to us. It changes us. It transforms us. It molds us into the image of Christ. And see what it says? It says, you're transformed by the renewal of your mind. And what does that mean? You start taking the word, the thoughts of the word, the power in the word, you absorb it into yourself, and it works in you. The power of God works in you. That's why it speaks about the gospel as the power of God unto salvation. So what is it meaning there? It's meaning you start walking into the full freedom and liberty of your new born-again state. All right, so is it possible to be born again and not be free? Absolutely. So I'll show you that. So Romans 12, you've got it. The word is going to transform you. It's going to change your thinking, and that's going to it's going to shape you into that place where you're in harmony with God. You know His mind. And 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 says, you have the mind of Christ. How does that happen? By changing your thinking, by renewing your mind fully, by taking in the word that is spirit and life, eating it, chewing it, becoming it, because that's what happens. As you feed on it, it doesn't become you. You become it. And then you move into a place where you're thinking the thoughts of God. So let's just have a look what happens when people are born again and not transformed. Let's go to Galatians 4, verse 1. What is God wanting? He's wanting sons, not children. And it's the sons of God that will be the priests and kings of God. All right, so Paul's speaking about the inheritance that we in Christ have, okay? Now he says, what I mean, okay, so now he's speaking still about inheritance in chapter 4 of Galatians, verse 1. He says, what I mean is, as long as the inheritor is a child and underage, he does not differ from a slave, although he is the master of all the states, the estate. He is under guardians and administrators or trustees until the date fixed by his father, the date that he comes into sonship. So what is it with us as the inheritors? We have an inheritance in Christ. We co-heirs with Christ. We continue to be as slaves until we grow up into sonship. And sonship, it's so clear in Romans 8, it says, those who are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. So we're back to Proverbs 4. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. These are the leadings of the Spirit. Just go to Romans 8. Can you see there? This doesn't have a page. It only has a verse, so you won't see. But if you're in the Bible, you see verse 11. That's what I was talking about, the quickening. And now we're going to look at verse 14. It says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Okay? And then just go down to verse... Well, let's carry on. We'll read verse 15 and 16. The Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you into bondage. You have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship, producing growth, and that's going to come by the Word of God, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, this is key. The Spirit testifies with our own spirit we are children of God. That's how we connect to God spiritually. Remember, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, if you join yourself to the Lord, you are one spirit with Him. So we are receiving from God the Father, spirit to spirit. Remember what the word is? The word is spirit and life. The word that we ingest, receive, and it comes out our mouths. Now, we have to incline our ears to the sayings of God to hear the witnessing of God, to hear the... In this Bible, it says the testimony of God. It says the Spirit testifies with our own spirit, assuring us we are children of God. So let's look more at what the Word can do. If we go to, I just love this reference of Paul. Let's go to Acts 20. And we're going to look at verse 32. Isn't that lovely? You see that? See how key Proverbs 4 is. Now this is Paul. He's been working and speaking with the Ephesians and the elders in the city. So he calls. He's about to take his farewell from them. So you could say this is his last instruction, and he would obviously instruct them in something very, very important. I'm not going to see you again. Remember this. This is key. Even if you forget everything else I said, remember this. So what does he say in verse 32? He says, brethren, now brethren, I commit you to God. I deposit you in His charge, entrusting you to His protection and care. And I commend you to the word of His grace. Okay, to the word of God. To His commands and counsels and promises of unmerited favor. It is able to build you up. Does that say? Yeah, there you are. That is critical. The word builds us up. It strengthens us, and it conforms us to the image of Christ. Or, as in Romans 8:28 and 29, it says in Romans 8:29, it says you'll be molded into the image of Christ. The word of God can do that, and that is Paul's last instruction. And look then what it says. It will give you your inheritance, in other words. How does it do that? Because it shows you what is yours, and it shows you how to lambana, take from what He's given you and to bring it into this world. And I can remember many, many years ago, I had a flash of inspiration from God, and I wrote in my Bible, faith is the vehicle that transfers things from the spirit realm that God has given us into the natural realm. What is faith? It's simply the supernatural aspect of taking the word, but your part is believing, and as you believe, you open your ears to hear. As you hear, the faith comes. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And it will literally manifest your inheritance around you. And probably in the last only few years, 5 years, would we say, we are now taking these things very, very, very seriously in terms of taking the word, honoring the word, attending to the word, inclining our ears to God's sayings, and letting our thinking be transformed and changed, because we know that that transfigures us into the image of Christ. And we are starting to see that inheritance. Promises that we've had for years and years and years are happening now. We're starting to walk into it. So this is truth. You've got to say, that's God's word. I believe it, therefore I receive it. It's mine. That word builds me up. That word gives me my inheritance. It's just an amazing last instruction from Paul. So he says, it's able to build you up and give you your rightful inheritance amongst all God's set apart ones, those consecrated, purified, and transformed. What is transformed? How's it done? By the renewing of your mind. You see, it's back to the word. Now look what James has to say about that. If we look in James chapter 1, the book of James. So, we have such a love for the word. We love the presence of God. That's the highest thing. We just love being in His presence. But we love His word. And the word brings the presence, because the word is living and active, as I've just said. You cannot divorce, oh, it's the word or the spirit, or the word and the spirit. No, they're one. They're the same thing. So if you want to see the presence of God in your life, get in the word. So where am I going? To James 1. The book of James. And we'll stop at verse 18, but the scripture I wanted was further on in the chapter. So James 1:18 says, "It was His own free will that He gave us birth as sons by His word of truth." With the word of truth, the word of God. How's that? See what the word did. You were born by the word, and you can see the same in 1 Peter 1 verse 24. It speaks about how you were born of imperishable seed. But let's go over. I'm going to read verse 21. So it says, "So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness." All right, that's James speaking. But look at this next bit. It says, "In a humble spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your hearts." How does something get in your heart? You read it, you think about it, it fills your thoughts. When it fills your thoughts, it drops into your heart. When it's in your heart, it'll start coming out your mouth. But look what he says. Receive and welcome the word. What's this one saying? Okay, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. I like the Amplified here. It says, receive and welcome the word. That's in capital W. Who is the word? Jesus. Jesus is the living word. And so if you think of the people in Numbers, I'm not quite sure where it is in Numbers, but there were serpents that got in amongst Israel. And, sorry? Numbers 21. There you go. There were serpents that got in amongst Israel, and Moses prayed, and God instructed him to put a brazen snake on a pole, and the pole was raised up high, and everyone who was bitten looked. They didn't look at the wound. They didn't look at what was going on. They didn't say, "Oh, yo, can you help me here? I've been bitten," or whatever. The instruction was, look at the snake on the pole, and you will live. And that was what was going to happen to Jesus. He was going to be lifted up on the cross, and He was going to take on the sin, and He was going to save the world. So really, all who look to Him have eternal life, if you want to put it in so many words. But they were instructed, look to the snake on the pole. And we're instructed, look to the Word of God. That is Jesus. Same thing. He is the Word. The Bible is the testimony of Jesus Christ. You read that right at the end of Revelation, where it speaks about the spirit of prophecy. It's the testimony of Jesus Christ. So he says here, he says, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your souls. Now we're speaking about, remember we spoke about the Greek word for your soul, and I'm reading from 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where it speaks about may you be preserved blameless, spirit, soul, and body. It's speaking about psyche. That is the Greek word, psyche. Maybe I'm not pronouncing it correctly. But we get the English word psychology and psychologist. And these guys, all they're dealing with is the soul and the soulish area. Whereas God is spirit, and we're dealing with spirit, and our soulish area is being transformed and changed. He wants to bring us into full alignment, full agreement with who we are, so that we know we're spiritual beings, we know who we are from the Word, and that's in full alignment with who we are spiritually, and then our body falls in line. What we do with the body, Romans 12 verse 1, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing and acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service. He wants a body, just like Jesus was God's body. He was God manifest on the earth. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He wants the same of us. We read in 1 Peter 2, where it speaks about we priests and kings. What does it say? It says we are to display the virtues and perfections. Let me just pick that up. So 1 Peter 2, that's... Peter, where are you? Straight after the book of James. 1 Peter 2. I want to quote this exactly right. Verse 5. Look at verse 2, for instance. It says, like newborn babies, crave the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow into completed salvation. What's the milk? The Word of God. Right. And then, as you grow into completed salvation, what's going to happen? Come and like living stones be built into a house for a holy dedicated priesthood. And we know we priests and kings when we read in Revelation 1 verse 5 and 6. Holy, so that you are acceptable and pleasing to God. How are we pleasing to God? Because our minds have been transformed, renewed. We know what is the good, perfect and pleasing will of God. And look at verse 9. This is a clincher. I thought, man, this is where the church is going. It says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's purchased people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds. This is talking about the works of God. Remember Jesus in John 14 verse 12? Whosoever believes in me will do the work I do and greater works, because I go to the Father. Or Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works. There's just a whole lot of deeds that God wants to display his virtues. Look what it's amplified again. It says, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What is the call of God? The call of God is for the church to say, if you've seen us, you've seen the Father. That's awesome. And how's that going to come? It's going to come through the pure milk, through being students of the Word, through embracing who God says we are, and through allowing. Look what happens with the Word. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. Remember I spoke about Jesus was transfigured up on the mount? Look what this word says about you. 2 Corinthians 3. And we're going to go right near the end of the chapter. 2 Corinthians 3. So I'll read from verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, where's the Spirit? The Word is Spirit and life. All right? So as we get into the Word, as we honor the Word, we say, thank you, Father, for your precious holy Word. Thank you that this Word builds us up, as Paul says. It gives us our inheritance. We thank you this Word transforms us, transfigures us, according to Romans 12, verse 2. We thank you, Father, for your Word. Okay, look at verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 3. It says, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Isn't that wonderful? The Word brings freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Right? Okay, the truth. God's Word is truth. Now, understand, truth is higher in power than facts. Facts change. So we can have people, I'll just give an example of what I'm saying. This Word is settled. And if you read 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18, it says, look not to what is seen, but look to the unseen. For what is unseen is eternal and not subject to change. It's not subject to change. The Word of God is not subject to change. It's truth. Facts change. Truth never changes. The truth of God is settled. So when we see this freedom in the truth of God, that freedom is ours. All right. Now look here what I was saying about the Word and what we to do. Why we look in the Word. Not to be corrected. Not to be rebuked. That is ungodly teaching. We look in the Word to see who we are and to be changed into His image. We don't want to be the same way we were. We don't want to do things that don't please Him. We want to be changed by the power of the Word. It's living and active. It's working in us. And God watches over His Word. We read that in Isaiah 55 verse 10 and 11. He watches over it and it accomplishes what He sent it to do. So what's He sent it to do here? Look in verse 18. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, what does this one say? Okay, just go to the next verse. 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, what is the glass? It brings it out here. It's the Word. It says here, all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, that's in brackets, as in a mirror. So you look into the Word, and you don't see what you are now. You see what He is making you. That is the amazing thing. And as you behold and behold and behold, that Word is working in you and working in you. It's changing you. It's conforming and molding you into the image of Christ. And as we grow in our Christian walk with God, we become more and more and more molded into the image of Christ. And when God looks at us, He sees Christ. I was telling some of the ladies in Galatians 3 verse 27, where the Bible says, you know, if you are baptized into Christ, and we know what baptism is, it's full immersion, total immersion in water, and bringing out, which is a picture of the new life we brought into. But it says, if you are baptized in Christ, you have clothed yourself with Christ. Now, we can look at people in this room here, and I can see faces, hands, legs, arms, because you know exactly who each person is. But in the biblical sense, when you're clothed with Christ, it's like God has got a big bag, which is Christ, like a big sack. And He puts you inside. And then He ties a knot on the top. And that knot is the Holy Spirit. It speaks of how we're sealed in the Holy Spirit. That bag is unopenable. Now, when you look at that bag, who do you see? You see Christ. That's why Paul can write in Galatians 2:20. He says, I'm crucified in Christ, yet I live. But not I. It's Christ in me who lives. And the life I live in the flesh, he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Because he understands he's clothed in Christ. So So when I look at the church, I say, you are, I see Christ. You're clothed in Christ. But you need to look in the Word to know that. You need to know who you are. And like it says here, as we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, then it says, comma, in this one, how does that say? Yeah, comma. We are constantly being transfigured. There's that. We have been transfigured. What is happening? God is displaying more and more and more glory in us. And we become more and more and more molded into His image. That is what I want to leave with you. You need to understand the value of the Word. And don't see it as a list of commands saying, do this, don't do that. You know you're a sinner if you do this. Say, read it and say, I'm a new creation. I'm the righteousness of God. I missed the mark there. Yes, I did. Thank you, God. You've dealt with that. Your blood keeps me cleansed. But thank you, Lord. This is who I am. I am the same as Jesus. I'm called to be configured into the image of Jesus. I'm filled with God. And when you start reading the Bible like that, it's just amazing. Look at this. Let's go to Colossians 2. I start reading these things. I think, wow, I didn't know that, Lord. And then suddenly it makes sense in 1 John 4, verse 17, where it says, as He is, so are you in this world. But look at Colossians 2, verse 9. It says, in Him, the whole fullness of the deity, the Godhead, dwells in bodily form. And then it says, giving complete expression of the divine nature. Now that fits. Jesus said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But look at verse 10 now. Read verse 10. You are in Him. See, we don't have to be saying, God be close to me. Just know where you are. You're seated in Christ in heavenly places. Don't be saying, God, please let me know that you are near. There's some song we sing, help me know that you are near. No. Wrong song. Unscriptural. Not useful. We are in Him, seated in Him. And look what it says, verse 10. And like even 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. We're in Him. Think of that bag. We're in Him, tied up, sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're sealed. He's the guarantee. Verse 10 says, you are in Him. I mean, just thinking about that, just can blow your mind. You are made full and have come to fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we know that it says that we are the temple of Christ. When we read both in 1 Corinthians 6 and in 2 Corinthians, I think it's also verse, chapter 6, it says, you are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full stature. He is the head of all rule, authority of every angelic principality and power. And remember when we looked in Ephesians 1, where it spoke about how Paul was praying for the Ephesians to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so they would know the mighty power of God. They would know the inheritance in the saints. And then he carries on about the power and he says, that power which was demonstrated when he raised Christ from the dead. And he seated him above all rule, power, principalities, above every name that can be named in this age and in the age to come. That's Christ. And says, and you are in Him. Christ, we are the body of Christ. That means that if you're the most humble little Christian, you're just the bottom flake of skin on the bottom of His foot. You're above all that. That's why God can say, or Jesus can say in Matthew 11:11, He says, of men born of woman, none is greater than John the Baptist, but the least in the kingdom is greater than him. The Word of God is astounding. So here, as you look, 2 Corinthians 4, as you look in the Word, you are constantly transformed. So we cannot make ourselves better in our own self-effort if we want to do that. You know, self-improvement schemes. The way we change is by the Word of God. By eating it and eating it and eating it. And the Word of God changes your desires. It changes the patterns of behavior. It molds you into the image of God. It quickens you. The more Word in you, the more Spirit in you. And the more Spirit in you, the more liberty. Because where the Lord is, where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. And what happens is, the more Spirit, the more the understanding. Why? Because it says in 1 Corinthians 2, the Spirit, He knows the deep things of God. It says, who knows the thoughts of a man except his Spirit within him? In the same way, the Spirit searches the deep thoughts of God, and He reveals to us everything that God has prepared and planned for us. The Word is the lamp to your feet. It's the light to your path. The Word will never fail you. God has submitted, He's put the Word, it says in Psalm 138 verse 2, it says, He's put above, I'll read it, but even above His name is His Word. Let's just look at that. Psalm 138 verse 2. The Word of God is settled, eternal. You can stake your life on it. Right, so I've told you all about the Word of God, and then briefly I'm just going to close telling you how. You see, some people say, let's just read Psalm 138 verse 2. It says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness, for your truth and faithfulness, for you have exalted above all else your name. So, all else. He's put His name above that. And He says, your name and your word have you magnified, your word even above your name. So it's not coming out so well there. So what does this say? Look at that. God watches over His word. And it tells us in Hebrews, it's around about verse 6, chapter 6, says, God is not a man that He can lie. And that's what He says in His Word. You can stand on the Word. So now what is it? You see, some people say, oh, well, I don't have the faith to believe the Word. Have you ever heard anyone say that? God says, John 14, verse 12, I will do the work He did and greater works. I just don't have the faith to believe that. Well, let's just pull that to pieces right now, because this will free you to just glow and grow in the Word. You don't need faith to believe. Believing is a choice. That's why it says, these signs will follow those who believe. Whoever believes in Me will do the works I do. And where He speaks about the rivers of living water in John 7, 37, 38. Whoever believes in Me, from his innermost being shall flow continuously rivers and springs of living water. And says, He was speaking here of the Spirit. Believing is a choice. That's in your hands. So you can say, I don't understand how that's going to happen. That's like Mary. You just look at two examples in the Scriptures. The angel appears to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and he says, you know, your wife's going to have a son in her old age. And Zechariah says, wow, she's old, yeah, that's not possible. So he struck him dumb. He couldn't speak until the boy was being named. Now you think of Mary. The angel comes to her and says, you know, you're going to be with child. And she says, well, how can this be? I haven't got a man. She doesn't say no. She says, well, how's it possible? So he explains, the power of God will overshadow you and you'll be with child. There's nothing wrong with us inquiring and searching out the Word. But if we shut it down by saying, I don't believe, and that's a choice. See, I can tell you a story and you can choose to believe or not to believe. There's no faith involved. So you choose to believe the Word. You choose to believe where God says something like, that's a different scripture. But I mean, say He says something like that. You just choose to believe. You don't understand, and you want to grow into that, but you open. When you open, what happens is your ears open. So if someone comes to you and tells you a story you don't believe, so I don't want to hear that, I don't believe that, you pay it no regard. We're right back to the beginning. Attend to my words. Why do you attend to the word? Because you believe it. You incline your ear to his saying. Why? Because you believe it. Then what happens? Romans 10:17. You incline your ear, you hear the word. And guess what? The word is supernatural. It's living. It's active. And the word of God brings the faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Our job is not the faith. Oh, I have to have faith. No, you don't. You have to believe. And when you believe, the word, being supernatural and powerful, will release the faith you need. And we know, what's the definition of faith? Faith is, Hebrews 11:1 speaks about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And there's just this impartation through the Spirit where we know we've received what he's promised. And that's a certainty. And you can then act on it. But that will only come if you choose to believe. So be believers of the word. Do not be afraid to search out the word, because the word can stand your scrutiny. And in fact, in Acts 17, the Bereans, when Paul was preaching, it says these were very wise and noble people. They searched the scriptures to see if what he was saying is true. And you do the same with the things I've told you today. Search it out. Prove it for yourself. And then believe it. And hold on to it, because it will accomplish what it's sent for. Isaiah 55:10. God says, as the rain comes down from the heavens and waters the earth. It does not return to the heaven, but it waters the earth. It produces fruit and abundance and growth. So is my word that I send. And he watches over it, and it will accomplish what it's sent to do. It will not return void. You will receive your inheritance. You will receive life to your flesh, and you will be molded into the image of Christ by the power of his word. So can we pray over that? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the power in the word. Your word tells us it's living and active, and we believe it, that it's spirit and life, and we need it. It tells us to eagerly crave the word as newborn babes. And we thank you, Father, that word works in us. It gives us our inheritance. It molds us into the image of Christ. It saves our souls from all the heartache and all the mess that's in this world. And it brings them into alignment with the Spirit of God, and we as spirit beings are joined, one spirit to you, Father, by your word. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that each of us has the wisdom and the strength to receive, to lambano, hold on to that word, and we don't care what comes to choke the word. We hold it, and we say, no, it shall not be. And Lord, that word will produce 30, 60, and 100-fold in each one of us. I thank you for the blessing, Lord. I just command and release the light of God, the glory of God, the atmosphere of heaven in this place. Father, for every church in this region, that your kingdom can advance, that the lame walk, the sick are healed, Father, the blind see, and Father, that there's good news, that the poverty spirit is destroyed of our lives, that the poor prosper, and that each one prospers, even as their soul prospers, in your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. As you've spoken, we say, be it unto us, just as Mary, the mother of Jesus, did. Thank you for your word, Father.